You are Locked On Chargers, your daily Los Angeles Chargers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And now, here is your host, Matthew Stanley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Chargers. I'm your host, Matthew Stanley. You can find me on Twitter at BoltFanInDenver. For those of you who don't know, I'm a writer and assistant editor over at BoltsFromTheBlue.com, and I am your host here at Locked On Chargers. I'm more settled now in my new house. I've got internet set up, so I'm back recording. I apologize in advance if it's a little echoey on the recording. I don't have my office set up quite the way I want it yet, and so I'm still getting a little bit of echo, but we'll pull that out later. So today, obviously, draft season is underway. The Shrine Game was last week, and the Senior Bowl is this week. And I'm going to answer some of your questions, and then I have an interview with Michael Peterson at Chargers Lately. He is actually down in Mobile right now at the Senior Bowl. He has press credentials, and he was at practice yesterday. So I called him to get a rundown of what he saw yesterday. And then I'll be calling him every morning and you know, getting interviews with him for the next couple of days to see what he's got going on down there in Mobile. But before we get to that, you guys send in some questions, and I wanted to answer those. So first we have at SDJoe21. He said, given the team was surprisingly healthier this past season, what key positions do you believe we need to add more depth with the current personnel in mind and potential releases? So I think you need to add at the safety position. Adrian Phillips did pretty well last year, but they have been, you know, they were using him in kind of that hybrid safety linebacker role, which, I mean, he knew the system, so he was able to do it, but he doesn't really have the size to be able to play that role super effectively. He did a really good job, but I think you need a true hybrid guy to play that hybrid role. And Trey Boston, you know, he was here on a 1-year contract, so he may be leaving. And then I think you need to add some depth at linebacker. We saw what happened when, you know, when Perryman went out. You need another player of Perryman's caliber to this group. Obviously, Jatavis Brown needs to step up, but Hayes Pillar just wasn't the answer. And, you know, he was a good stopgap guy because he knew the system. So it was easy for him to, you know, pick up on the terminology and know his assignments, but he's obviously limited. So I think the Chargers could do well there to add another, you know, blue chip kind of guy at linebacker. And finally, I think quarterback is a position that, you know, the Chargers need to grab a guy there. I mean, they keep bringing in these older backup quarterbacks that, you know, like Kellen Clemens and Billy Volek and guys like that. I mean, they did bring in Cardale Jones finally. He's a younger guy that you can develop. But, you know, I think if the opportunity is there in the draft, I think if a guy like Baker Mayfield falls or, you know, somehow in the second round, Lamar Jackson's still around or something, you got to take a guy. You got to add some young depth there that you can develop and turn into something. And then I also, I guess I would say that they do need to add somebody else on the offensive line. I think they need to add at least one more starter on the offensive line because they're going to have Forrest Lamp coming back. But, I mean, you could stand to replace at least two of the three of Spencer Pulley, Joe Barksdale, and Kenny Wiggins. So I think they could add another starter on the offensive line. We have at Bobby_runs. Asked, what playoff teams or fringe teams do you see struggling next year, i.e. do the Chargers stay in second or do they win the division? I think they have a really good chance to win the division. I think, you know, the Broncos are, they're going to, you know, they're slightly rebuilding. I mean, their offense needs almost a complete rebuild, and they need to find their groove again on defense. I think the Raiders are the worst team in the division. And the Chiefs are going to have a lot of big contract guys, a lot of big name players that are going to be needing, that are in contract years. So they're going to lose a couple of those guys and they're going to be rebuilding a little. I mean, they're going to see a dip in their production. And they might be handing the reins over to Patrick Mahomes next year. And, you know, while he's very good, he's shown he can be very good. He is, you know, a rookie quarterback. So, he won't be a rookie next year, but you know, obviously he'll be a new starter. So I think the Chargers, it's the right time if they're going to make a move. I think that they can put some stuff together here to take the division if they need to. I did have a more specific question about quarterbacks from at, I can't tell which of those are I's and L's. I think it's Ill Krill. I was asked thoughts about drafting quarterback in the first round, and so do I like Lamar Jackson. I do like Lamar Jackson. I think in the first round, though, at number 17, I think the only guy that I'd be excited for is if Baker Mayfield fell to them there. I think if Baker Mayfield fell to 17, I'd have a pretty hard time passing up on it. But I've already kind of talked about it. Let's see. Do I have any more football questions? At Oscar Castro CR asked, how is it going with kicker tape? Has anyone caught my attention? Because of the move and everything, I haven't super dug into tape yet. Obviously, the Georgia kicker and the Auburn kicker are the two at the top of my list right now. I'll be starting that this week. Obviously, the Auburn kicker is at the Senior Bowl, so I'm gonna I'll be following that closely to see how he's doing. But I'll be looking at kicker tape. Don't worry. And then I had two off-topic, not football questions. What should I dunk Oreos in if I'm giving up milk completely? You should just reverse your decision and not give up milk. I guess almond milk. That's really the only milk substitute that I like. What is my favorite beer? So actually, I've got kind of a sweet tooth. My favorite beer is actually a peanut butter milk stout from Tailgate Brewing in Nashville, Tennessee. It's amazing. It's so good. I had a friend who lives in Nashville just come visit, and they brought me 2 6-packs and made me very, very happy. All right, so that does it for questions. Let's jump into this interview with Michael. And so here's Michael Peterson at Chargers Lately, giving a rundown of day one of this Senior Bowl.
How's mobile?
It's actually really, really cool so far. Finally, me and all these guys are right with the breaking football, and then it's like kind of true what they said. It's like spring break for scouts, but I don't think we've seen the craziest stuff yet. Let's put it that way.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, my biggest thing is the first time I walked into the hotel when we first got here, some people like walked the door and I was like, oh, look, some Bills fans. And then I read the damn tag and it said Sean McDermott. And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
That's fantastic.
So, and then, we go around the corner and I see this dude and I don't see like what he's wearing exactly, but I go, God, he looks familiar. And then up close, I see the bolt on his chest and I go, oh my God, that's Tom Telesco. And he walked like right in front of my face, and we were going up an escalator to get our credentials, so I didn't stop, or I would have like said something to him. But it's an awesome missed opportunity. Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Yeah, you'll probably run into him again. I mean, it's a long week, and there's like all you guys are gonna be in the same place a bunch.
Yeah, hopefully, man. I've just seen a lot of people that like I expected to look different or something like that. You know, all these people see on TV, and it's actually pretty crazy.
Great. Awesome. So. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself real quick so everybody who starts listening knows who you are.
Okay. My name is Michael Peterson. You can find me on Twitter at Chargers Lately, LA capitalized, because I thought that was super clever. One of the writers here for BoltsFromTheBlue.com, and I do a little bit for a website called BreakingFootball.com as well.
Awesome. Yeah, so Michael, you're down in Mobile, and What was your impressions from the first day of practice yesterday?
We've got some serious, serious talent at some of these positions. The running backs are very, very solid. There's a lot of good potential at the O-line positions. As far as the linebacker core goes, it's quite underwhelming, unfortunately. Rashawn Evans backed out. I think Deion Hamilton as well from Alabama backed out. And so there's a lot to want. It's really lacking there, unfortunately. But one guy that did stand out in the linebacker core was this guy named Trey Williams from Auburn, and he had an absolute stick on Rashawn Perry in team that like sent ooze throughout the entire stadium. So a couple good people there, and then Some pretty good DBs and wide receivers as well that made a lot of splash plays. So it's a good year stacked with talent, and, you know, day two hopefully brings a lot more to talk about.
Awesome. Yeah, so you were saying there's a couple of small school guys that have been, you know, kind of making their name for themselves so far. Alex Kappa at offensive tackle, mm-hmm. and then you told me about Nathan Shepard, a defensive tackle from Fort Hays State. Why don't you talk to me a little bit about those two guys?
So I spent a lot of time looking at the offensive linemen because for Breaking Football, I'm doing that's the position for our draft guide that we're putting out later this year. And obviously, Alex Kappa is one of the most intriguing prospects here because he is from a D2 school, but you've got, you know, offensive line gurus like Duke Manyweather and LeCharles Bentley, who can't stop talking to about him, gushing about him online. So to see him in person is great now. And he had his first rep one-on-ones was against Marcus Davenport, who's one of the top edge players here in Mobile. And it couldn't have gone worse for him, believe it or not. I remember I looked up right as it started, and I heard the loudest crack probably could hear all day. And Marcus Davenport just threw like a right hook into his chest, blew him back 5 yards, and then, you know, would be sacked the quarterback. So at first I'm thinking, wow, you know, that's kind of what I was hoping wouldn't happen. But I'll tell you what, man, I've never seen a guy bounce back better than Kappa did. The very next play, he took on, I believe it was a D tackle from NC State, and handled him very well. It was either B.J. Hill or Justin Jones, two of the best defensive tackles in this class, handled him perfectly in pass pro, did a really good job. And then actually later had another rep against Marcus Davenport where he absolutely throttled him in the run game. This was a one-on-one for the run game, and just, I swear, threw him back 5 yards, and it was beautiful. So Kappa showing early signs of, you know, not sure if he can handle the talent, but really bounced back and shows that he might actually be one of the best tackles in this class.
Awesome.
And then Nathan Shepard. So he's, again, D2 tackle, defensive tackle out of Fort Hays State. Listed at a pretty decent size of 6'3", 3'10". And he had one of the best reps all day in one-on-ones. And it was against Will Hernandez, who, if you haven't seen him on film, you probably think he's already large, seeing what you can on film. But in person, you've never seen a wider, thicker man than Will Hernandez. I mean, built like a house, just absolutely like cannonball chest, Popeye forearms, just immense. And he's also been one of the best just in terms of reps here. He hasn't lost really anything. And then I saw this one rep where Shepard did like a double hand swipe, followed it up with another quick swipe, and just ran the loop on Hernandez. And Hernandez looked, for lack of a better word, pitiful against this one rep. So really blew the doors off, you know, anyone who saw him. And he's going to be very interesting. Again, a D2 prospect that could be an absolute steal somewhere in the mid rounds.
Awesome. So obviously you got an eye on the O-line. The Chargers are getting four slant back this year. Just out of the group of guys so far, if it was your turn, if you were Tom Telesco come draft day, who are the, say, top two guys out of this Senior Bowl group that you have on your list right now?
So I think that the Chargers, you know, I think the one hole you can possibly say is right tackle. And with Forrest Lamp coming back, that gives us a piece to kind of do what we want with him. You know, some people think he's going to stick at guard. Some people, you know, want to move him out to right tackle because we have, you know, Feeney and Pulley's been okay. And we're getting Matt Slauson back come next year as well. So I was looking at, you know, potentially right tackle, maybe a guard. Well, my top two guys probably might be Kappa in terms of that right tackle prospect. He's very good fundamentally all around, but his run game is just so nasty. He can hold his own in pass pro, but to throw him at right tackle, where he did spend a lengthy amount of time at that position yesterday, and it's where he had that incredible run rep against Marcus Davenport. He'd probably be my top guy when it comes to if we're looking at a right tackle prospect. In terms of if we were to take Forrest Lamp and move him over to right tackle, there's a guy named Skylar Phillips out of Idaho State. It's probably a name no one has really heard about. But, again, he's built like a house as well. But maybe like Will Hernandez Light, he's about 6'2", 6'3", 325, 330. And he has by far the most polished hand technique in pass pro that I've seen out of anybody down here in Mobile. And he's a crazy story as well. He actually had a standing offer from Oregon State taken back before he ever got a chance to get over there. And so he had to regroup himself, and Idaho State was one of the first people to call and offer on the spot, and the rest is history with that. So you know he has the talent to be at the Division I level, major level, and he's someone who I only saw a little bit of tape on, but the second I got to watching him with one-on-ones and team, that little bit of tape stood. I mean, everything that I thought he had, he showed yesterday.
Awesome. So I know a big question that always comes out is, you know, there were some complaints last year that the practices weren't run that well. How do you feel the two practices were run yesterday? Was there good energy? Was there good pacing?
Yeah, actually, believe it or not, they did a really good job with how they're running the practices this week. Vance Joseph's staff, Bill O'Brien's staff, we're doing a phenomenal job about keeping the energy up, and especially with me standing over by the O-linemen. Those coaches, offensive line coaches, are some of the loudest, most intimidating people on the field. So if you were over there and you were listening to what these guys were saying and just how they were saying it, it was kind of hard to not have your blood, you know, start pumping on its own. But in general, I know Phil Savage, the director here, really wanted to emphasize with both coaching staffs to do a lot of one-on-ones, and that's what a lot of us want to see as well. We just want to see mano-a-mano, the best up against the best, one-on-one situation where, you know, the stakes are high. You got everyone has their eyes on you. And so that's a ton of that. And overall, the practices fly by. It's one-on-one to a little bit of team to one-on-one with the team back and forth. And you get a little bit of everything, but it's still enough to feel content that you're actually getting, you know, what you came here to see.
Awesome. All right, well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I did want to finish off asking, you know, when the Broncos staff took the field with their team yesterday, how did that quarterback battle look between Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield? I mean, I know you were watching O-line, but obviously the Chargers are, you know, they should be in the market for a quarterback, not necessarily to replace Rivers, but, you know, this year, but it needs to be in the plan. So what did you see from those two big-name quarterbacks yesterday?
So it was, I'll tell you what, when you saw Baker Mayfield come out on the field, you could tell there was just this kind of presence, this aura came over everybody. He was the only person wearing a visor that I saw, or at least of everybody on the playing field. He had this red visor. When it hit the sun, man, he just looked like the coolest guy on the field, and he was rocking a bandana under it. So he stepped in, and his personality just shone out. But as far as his play, it actually was fairly close. Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield seemed like the only quarterbacks who weren't afraid to sling it downfield. And when it comes to Josh Allen, kind of what you've been hearing is kind of what you got yesterday. So there was the immense arm talent. There was the athletic ability. Then it also came with a good handful of throws that kind of left you scratching your head. But he had one or two throws that was right on the money, deep 20-yard outs right on the sideline that he was hitting guys time to time was crazy. And then Baker, man, that poise in the pocket was absolutely immense. It seemed like a lot of quarterbacks got happy feet real quick. I mean, because there's a lot of good defensive line talent here, and guys were seeing ghost pressure. But I swear, man, Baker just had this poise about him. Just stood in there and hit some bullets. So it's been a really good first day. Super stoked to see how it plays out today and let them get a little more comfortable with one practice under their feet. But yeah, man, what you see is what you get with Josh Allen and Baker's being Baker. So I hope to see a lot more of that.
Awesome. All right, well, thanks for taking the time to talk to me, man. And I'll probably, if you have the time, we'll try and do this every morning and give people a recap of the previous day. And maybe tomorrow I'll have some questions for you from some listeners.
Okay, rock on. Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Yep, no problem. And everybody, just in case you missed at the beginning, this has been Michael Peterson. You can find him on Twitter at Chargers Lately. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Yep, thanks.
So that was Michael Peterson giving his day one rundown of the Senior Bowl. I have been your host, Matthew Stanley. Thanks for listening to another episode of Locked On Chargers. You can find me on Twitter at BoltFanInDenver or over at LockedOnLAC. Like I said there at the end, if you have any questions about anything specific or any specific guys at the Senior Bowl, you can tweet to me or to Michael Peterson, and we will try and get those answered on the show tomorrow. Thanks again for listening, everybody. You can find the episode on your favorite podcast platforms, and I will also be posting the episode on boltsfromtheblue.com. Thanks again, everybody, and have a great day.